welcome to The Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Pyle. With Halloween season upon us, nothing can be scarier than your command and control, C2, not functioning correctly when you're out conducting missions. If your C2 fails, then you're at great risk of the mission failing as well. It can be as simple as your radio losing fill, or the entire network just going down. Anyone who has been in that situation before knows how scary it can be. Thus, the Army is in the midst of modernizing the command and control systems to meet the new challenges of today's modern battlefield. Some of you may be familiar with C2 Fix that has been rolling out across formations. However, today we're going to be exploring the next system that the Army is developing, which is the Next Generation Command and Control, or Next Gen C2. This new data-centric system will streamline decision-making across all command levels. To fully walk us through this new system, I have with me here today Colonel Paul Smith, who serves as the Sustainment Mission Command Director at CASCOM. Colonel Paul Smith is a native of Fountain, Colorado, and graduated from Colorado State University with a bachelor's degree in psychology in 2001, where he commissioned from the Army ROTC program. In his 24 years of service, he has served in a variety of positions, including the Quartermaster Branch Chief, Battalion Commander of the 61st Quartermaster Battalion, 13th Expeditionary Sustainment Command, and was selected as an Army War College Fellow with an attendance at Princeton University. He also holds a master's degree in military arts and sciences from the Command and General Staff College and a master's degree in business administration from the University of Mary. He's deployed both to Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation Enduring Freedom. I'm so excited to have you on the show today, sir. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Garrett, for that kind intro. I've had the opportunity to listen to previous episodes of the Logstat and know that I'm standing on the shoulders of the giants that have been here before. So thank you for the invitation.
Of course, sir. We're so glad to have you here today and just be able to add you on to another giant then to be able to come up here and speak today and really today just be able to talk to our audience about really how sustainment is going to be integrating with this next gen C2. I know the Army's always changed. It seems like sometimes they change products pretty quick. And I guess that's kind of where I want to really start our first part of this conversation at is a lot of our audience might be familiar with or may not be familiar with C2 Fix. So kind of give us that understanding of the difference between C2 Fix and now this new next-gen C2.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I think about that, I look at next-gen C2, and we really built on the lessons learned from C2 Fix. But next-gen C2 itself represents a full-scale shift in how the Army is conducting command and control. C2 Fix was more of a modernization of legacy systems, and it was a patchwork effort to address some immediate concerns that we have within our command and control systems. But Next Gen C2 by itself starts with a whole new clean sheet approach, and it's designed to support a fast-moving, complex battlefield environment where the traditional command posts are both too slow to react and also too vulnerable for the current battlefield we expect to see.
Okay. So this is where you said C2 Fix focused more on the updating legacy systems?
Yeah. So the three divisions that got parts of C2 Fix were the 101st, 25th, and 10th. And what they did is they built on top of the existing ITN network that was there and added on new capabilities to see what we could do within that space. So not a ground-up approach, but trying to see with some modernization what we could add to it to enhance C2.
Okay. And then now with next gen C2, so what really is that all about then? Is that adding new equipment or is it just new software?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So as I kind of alluded to before, it's a whole new clean slate approach. So it's a rebuild of C2 from the ground up. And in the intro, you talked about Next Gen C2 being a data-centric design. And so Next Gen C2 is designed to bring everything together in a unified structure. Now, I say that because there's going to be four layers when you look at Next Gen C2. The first layer, kind of like we talked about, is some of the infrastructure layer. So that's the hardware that's going to host our new Next Gen C2 software on. So you'll see some computers and things like that. The transport layer, and that is really the network that's going to move data across the battlefield. And then I think the real sweet part of Next Gen C2 or the sweet spot of Next Gen C2 is the data layer. And that data layer is going to enable seamless data integration across warfighting systems to ensure that data is curated, cleansed, synchronized, and tagged for real-time use. And that's going to break down some of our existing data silos and enable cross-functional collaboration. But then for most of us, like when we're in a next-gen C2 environment, what next-gen C2 is going to really look like is the application layer. And that's where I'm thinking roughly 90% of the Army is going to work. So the applications are going to leverage the data in the data layer to go through and pull across all the warfighting systems and give us a holistic approach to command and control.
Well, nice. So I really like how you're able to break it down between those four layers, kind of help paint the picture on how this new implementation is going to be occurring. Because as we just talked about, C2 fix, like, you know, just, it's like that was more so like a Band-Aid. Try to say, okay, we just slapped this Band-Aid on, we'll try to fix it through this. But now we realize that, hey, we need to start from scratch, kind of rebuild it from the ground up. And that's, I really glad that's how the Army is going about this program, because too often, as we keep trying to put Band-Aid on Band-Aid on Band-Aid, we're causing more problems for ourselves instead of just starting all over. And that can be equivalent to so many different things that the Army has done. But it's really good to see with this new system that's starting from scratch. And I think the first layer, you're talking about some of the new equipment. It's kind of the one thing to get into is, like, what is that equipment going to look like?
Yeah, no, that's also good, too. So I think when we talk about equipment in Next Gen C2, since the primary focus is on enabling command and control in that data-centric approach, a lot of the equipment is focused on gathering and transporting data. So, and also when we do it, relooking how we're doing command and control. So C2 fix started this, where we look at C2 on the move or at the quick halt, and Next Gen C2 takes it to a whole other level. So the equipment is really done with that whole approach in mind. What can we do quickly? What can we do on the move and with smaller CPs? And it's really built on a multi-com pathway. So when I start talking hardware and what sort of equipment it is, you'll see first like new SATCOM terminals, new SATCOM transport. So for us as loggies, I would say, if you look at like your KC or VSAT, kind of the ways we've accessed SATCOM for the past several years, a lot of that system is being upgraded with the proliferated low Earth orbit or PLEO satellite terminals. And so they are, think like a Starlink or a Starshield, so like a SATCOM terminal that's the size of a notebook. And that's going to replace the larger standard satellite terminals we've seen in the past. And that transport is actually being pushed down to the company CP level. So no longer will that be just the things that are at the battalion, brigade, and division, but each CP will have that capability there as well. And then on top of that, like I mentioned, multipath. So we're going to see broadband kits, so enabled with 5G type Wi-Fi capabilities, MiFi pucks, and then, you know, even going further down, you'll see networked radios. So the radio is now not only pass voice, but you got data over radio as well. And then tablets and end user devices. So in a lot of the maneuver formations that may not be so new, I've seen a lot of folks being equipped with like the ATAC devices where they can do some mission planning with a chest mounted Samsung phone. But for the large part, the sustainment forces weren't eligible for those. But now in Next Gen C2, you'll see from the beginning data being input in devices like those little phones or tablets, leveraging that new transport and pushing that information all the way back to the data layer. So we have that whole holistic approach to C2.
Wow, you just really kind of highlighted so many different things. It almost feels like Christmas for me a little bit, all these new devices that, you know, I'll be able to get my hands on and be able to see. So the first thing I want to hit on is, like you mentioned, the KC system.
Yeah.
And one of those things is, so for me personally, my best experience with KC is I could inventory that thing with my eyes closed, because I feel like that's all I ever did with it is inventory that system. And now, is that going to be going away? Are we getting something new? Are we actually be utilizing that system with upgraded software?
So yes, the KC and VSAT were actually scheduled for an upgrade before Next Gen C2. And we were moving towards the sustainment transport system at the time. And that was going to be replacing the KC and VSAT with a very similar type capability. So like I won't say a large satellite terminal, but the similar design for a VSAT.
You're talking about like the ISAT with the big blow-up ball?
No. So I'm trying to have it like a, it's more like the standard VSAT dish. And then they went to a different version. So like the VSAT itself would do the auto signal detect. The new STS, you'd have to go through and actually manually input it to find the signal overhead. It, I mean, it would guide you through. You'd have a visual screen to do it, but it wasn't so dependent on automation. But as Next Gen C2 came online, and actually C2 fix, we started seeing the shift to more and more light and capable transportation systems, data transport systems in particular. And so the sustainment transport system has modernized just in the last year to now move away from that dish that they had originally started to go to the PLEO, that same Starlink or Starshield that I talked about earlier. So even as we go through that upgrade process, you're going to see a lot of similarities between the STS and NextGen C2 as we try to merge those two programs to really do that link between our business system management we've done forever and command and control.
Nice. So it's nice to really see how this equipment is kind of modernizing to the next flight. And now when it comes to radios, though, you know, we're going to be still having the big green, I guess it's called the big green block radios. Are we going to be, because you mentioned some changes with that, is those going to be going away?
There's a lot of this that's in NextGen C2 that's still in flux. So what I haven't seen yet from an actual field test is how it's all going to integrate in the tactical vehicle set. Now, what I have seen are new capable radios, the MPU-5. So it's basically like a large walkie-talkie that you can go through multiple nets at the same time. It's designed to really mitigate that threat of, you know, being in the DDoL environment, so you can jump between different nets just from a handheld radio itself. But within the vehicles, we're still looking a little bit at JBCP log upgraded to mounted mission command. So you have some of that still in a vehicle in addition to a lot of these new transport things. So great question. I think we'll say to be determined. And we should see a lot of this tested in the dirt here before PCC6, which is in July of 26.
So you said PCC. What is that for the audience?
No, it's a good point. I spoke in acronyms. Yeah, so PCC is Project Capstone Convergence. It's basically the experimentation Super Bowl for the Army. And in PCC6, we'll see a division go through an exercise in the dirt where they'll actually go through and demonstrate the NextGen C2 architecture at scale.
Nice. So, of course, it's going to be down the road from now. So it'll be interesting to see what results come out of that and to see how units going forward are going to be integrating this technology. And one of the last things I really want to hit on talking as we're talking about equipment is this whole concept of, you know, these flip-down devices. It's like the super soldier of we always envisioned. You always see it on different movies and different shows and stuff. You know, that super soldier, it's fully connected to the data, connected to the network. Can you kind of walk us through what this is going to look like for the modern soldier?
Yeah, so I think when you look at it, some of the experiments and some of the assessments we've done, we've been able to see a platoon leader come out of his vehicle. He'll have his cop up on mounted mission command. So he's driving. He can see the picture there. He steps out of the vehicle. That same picture is now wirelessly transmitted to his ATAC device. So you never lose track of where you're at in the battlefield, where your soldiers are at. You're maintaining that same sort of operational picture no matter where you're at in the field. And with the input ability of those same devices, you can go through and just with a few taps on the device on your chest, change a mission, update a personnel status. You can do your log stat. And that data is then passed along through the Wi-Fi networks back all the way up. And as long as we're all talking the same data language, whatever I type in at the lowest level is capable of being seen all the way back up almost simultaneously. So I think that's kind of how we see this progressing and why the data layer and the transport layer is really important to this too, because if we have the tech at the edge, but we can't push it anywhere, then it's not doing us a lot of good.
Exactly. And that's really where the key of this exists is it's one thing to be able to receive the data and to see it, but it's another thing. And that's where the real pinnacle point is that you can actually input data into it and feed back up into higher. So while you're on ground seeing the situation as it unfolds, you can be inputting data that can then affect further on decisions that need to be made. Instead of just sitting there receiving like, okay, now what do I do with this? I can affect it now. And now we're kind of talking a little bit more so on, I know we kind of alluded more to the infantry side, like how they're kind of using it. So how is sustainment? How are we going to integrate with NextGen C2? Is it just going to be like, so I know we just talked about, hey, a platoon leader gets out, you know, be inputting where his soldiers are at, his or her soldiers are. So what about sustainment?
Yeah, so I think historically, LOTUS stations have faced significant challenges when we start thinking about how to integrate our information and planning considerations into the broader operational picture. And I mentioned data silos earlier, and I think, unfortunately, we were really good at operating in data silos. I mean, we even had our VSAT, so we could pass sustainment data separately. But in NextGen C2, you know, all of this is going to be combined in a holistic data layer. And so what we see and what we did here at CASCOM as well to ensure that sustainment is integrated, we wrote the Sustainment Warfighting System Requirements Document, which is going to say, this is going to lay the requirements out for every application that wants to operate within the sustainment space within Next Gen C2. And by leveraging the Next Gen C2 data layer, every Sustainment Warfighting System app is going to ensure that sustainment data is synchronized with those other warfighting systems. So when I look at it, you know, you could say that that's going to provide your operational, a unified operational view. And I think looking at it too, we built in the requirement for predictive analytics. And so those analytics within the Sustainment Warfighting System app will be able to forecast resupply needs based on the operational tempo. So you're taking information actually from the warfighter. You can go look at things such as like casualty rates. You'll also have live data doing your battle damage assessments. And you could also have the historical consumption patterns from things like Mercury or Oplog Planner. And all of that being pushed into the same spot will enable us to preemptively position resources and avoid mission delays in this whole new environment.
Wow. So you're really putting the sustainment fully integrated with all different warfighting functions and really putting them at the center. Because beforehand, it was so hard, I know, to, I got to get this information from this unit. I need this information from that unit. And it's like, okay, then I can, every 12 hours, maybe set up a log stat where now it's going to be real time. And just the impact that's going to have the missions now, where you're not waiting constantly for this data to be fed up, or, oh, wait, I forgot to send it. This person forgot to set it up, or they might have set up the wrong numbers. Like, you can pull now real-time data. And that's going to have such a great effect. And you alluded to when it comes to precision sustainment, predictive logistics.
Yeah, and I think when we started talking about it too, you know, having that ground-level data is going to be really foundational for the support that we bring later on. But one of the things we're looking at too is integrating in the data layer, not just the warfighter mission area or the, you know, what we've been talking about so far, but also the business mission area data. So things like GArmy, IPSA, and GFIBS and others. And so that way, you'll have the whole supply chain picture at your fingertips. And I think by doing that, you know, Next Gen C2 really addresses some of the LISCO challenges we're looking at. So if you look at extended lines of communication, being in contested environments, and having to operate in a distributed manner, you know, using that data from end to end, along with your artificial intelligence and machine learning algorithms, you can go through now and optimize your route plans, the load configurations on your vehicle, and even all the way down to which platforms you're going to use to push those supplies to go through and reduce waste and increase our efficiency within the operations. I think there's a world of opportunity here with the Next Gen C2 if we just seize it.
Well, and I think that is the key right there, if we seize it. And while we can have this great piece of technology, it's how we actually employ it out in the battle space and be able to actually employ it in the way it's actually going to be beneficial for us. And so we can bring all that data in so we can make these informed decisions. And I really think you've highlighted a great point there, that sometimes we have this great piece of equipment, and if we don't use it, it might just go sit in the box and not be used. Like, I don't know how many times you see when it comes to supply stuff, and I'm going to mess up the name now, but the system you're supposed to be able to go through with a scanner and scan everything within your doing property. And how many times I've seen it just sits on a shelf.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't remember the name of it right now.
Well, I know we're looking at a newer one, Paraline. I don't think that's probably what you're referring to. There was NADACS before and ADACS and all of these other things. But you're right. And I think it kind of transitioned to some of the other things we were talking about before we went live, is just the challenges that I see in this space. And I think that's one of them right there is, yeah, you know, if we get stuck in older processes, we're going to let this opportunity pass us by. And with the speed that we're trying to push Next Gen C2 out into the force, you know, any sort of delays on our part not to maximize this, I think, I hate to say that we'll miss the bus, but there are opportunities there, you know, that we might get stuck in some older patterns.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, technology is evolving so quickly. Whereas we're working to get this Next Gen C2 out, we need to get units familiarized with this technology and start using it, because in a blink of an eye, the new updates are going to be out, or a new layer, or a new piece of equipment is going to make this even more efficient. And if you get behind, then go back to the old way of, we're going to try to slap a bandaid on something and it's not going to stick. So, and that kind of gets after, what can units really expect with this technology so we don't run into that problem?
Yeah, so I think we start about what units can expect. We touched on it with what will be coming down as far as the equipment. We talked a little about the capability to leverage the data. But I think when I look at it, like if I try to say like an example, we talked a little bit about doing maintenance, right? So how does this apply to like a day-to-day operation? So now within NextGen C2, you can operate off of your TAC, Samsung phone, a NextGen C2 tablet, any of these things that are now empowered by these applications that are being built. Go out into your motor pool, perform your PMCS on a truck as you're scheduled. You can mark a fault on your tablet, click the button. That data is automatically submitted back to your maintenance tech, goes through, verifies it, confirms, submits it to the GArmy. And now things that took you maybe hours and significant paper process is done in minutes. And that same data, so let's say, we'll move out from a motor pool and go into maybe an actual fight. You know a vehicle's down, you can mark that at the edge and then automatically update a combat power tracker from you all the way up to division or anyone else that's empowered with NextGen C2. So you'll have that near instantaneous view of what's happening on the ground and being able to inform senior leaders all the way back so that we're making informed decisions with the data available at hand.
Wow. I know that's just the maintenance part alone is just a game changer because how many 5988s just get lost in transition from the operator filling it out to where parts need to get ordered or it gets raining out, something happens, it gets all destroyed or whatever. So the fact that they can just be able to input into the system real time right there instantly goes up to the maintenance tech and then it can just continuously go through the process so quickly. The amount of man hours we're going to save is unreal. That I'm just from what you're talking about, and especially when it looks into the battlefield space to be able to say, hey, this piece of equipment is down. It's no longer that I'm waiting up to see a combat power update brief or something just to see that. I'd be like, oh man, I can see in real time. Now I can make better informed decisions on where I need to place my equipment and my personnel on the battlefield.
One thing I was just thinking about too is, so there's a couple of programs that are competing within the space for maintenance. So another example would be within like the fires community. And so I actually saw this a couple of weeks ago when they were doing the initial testing of NextGen C2. And so they took data from the gun showing what round was fired. It was able to be integrated with the overhead UAS doing a battle damage assessment on the planned target. And that could all flow back into the data layer to inform what rounds we need to continue that fight. So if you have multiple types of that same target, you can now know what rounds are needed to both destroy or degrade that target. You could use your algorithms to say, okay, well, I know I have 50 of these. It takes 4 rounds to destroy each one. Now I automatically doing the math in the background to say 200 rounds of this, ingest the mission plan from your mission command side and build out a convoy that goes and syncs operations with munitions to go ahead and determine an effect on the battlefield as well.
Well, that really is bringing predictive logistics to life in real time.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it. And I think the NextGen C2 is one of the most consequential programs that we're going to see in the next 20 years. We're going through a period of transformation, absolutely. And I think NextGen C2 is going to be integral to our success in that.
Yeah, and I agree. I talked about it in another podcast episode, but we're in that inter-technology period right now. And just to see the way that the Army is adapting during this period and how we're going to be able to adapt to the next fight, which kind of gets into, and I know we've talked a lot about it, but if there's any more points on like, really, how is this new technology going to increase our lethality, especially as sustainers?
Yeah, I think, when you look at lethality, sustainment forces can leverage the NextGen C2 to maintain operational reach and endurance by incorporating the data from all of our warfighting systems, leveraging artificial intelligence and machine learning to go through and adapt our routes based on threat reports, protection assets available, so whether or not you have engineering assets or MPs along the line. You can also know whether or not there might be adversary UAS activity, unmanned aerial systems flying overhead. And it could take all of that, recommend a log pack composition or a convoy composition, which asset to use. So as you start looking in the future, we expect there to be less and less manned vehicles in the fight. But let's say there's a higher threat environment. It can help you make an informed decision on whether or not you used manned platforms versus unmanned. It'll help you go through and pick the right resources to put on that convoy and ensure that you have the right resources at the right place at the right time and leveraging the optimal assets to do so.
Wow. And that continues really adds on to our conversation today is just the impact that this is going to be having and why it's so critical for all our sustainers out there listening to this to, when this does hit your formation and you start to see that, to really take it to heart and get into that technology to see how you can employ it going forward, because it's going to be monumental on increasing lethality and just really increasing your effectiveness on the battlefield to be integrated, because we're all always keeps going back to data. So you're going to be fully integrated with all these different warfighting functions, and you're going to be able to make better informed decisions. And let it be just in your motor pool when it comes to simple maintenance operations, or all the way up into the battle space when you're going to have to be able to resupply multiple warfighting functions. So it's really good to see how this is impacting our lethality and just why sustainers need to take this seriously. Any more impacts when it comes to large-scale combat operations that us as sustainers should be aware of?
I'm trying to rack my brain. I think we've hit on most of the ones that I wanted to talk about today. One I can say is, so with Next Gen C2, you know, we are in a period of experimentation. And so the things we talk about today might not be what is available in a couple of years. And I wouldn't say it's going to go backwards. I think through a period of experimentation, through multiple units over the next 2 years, we'll go through and be able to right-size capability. So whether it be different hardware that comes to you, maybe you won't get the Pelio Star Shield we talked about earlier, maybe it'll be something new. But we're going to go through and adapt over the next couple of years to ensure we get the right equipment into the warfighters' hands when we need it.
Now we kind of get into what maybe some of the other challenges that may exist with this technology.
Yeah, so with it being such a new program, some of the things we'll see, at least initially, will be the ramping up of production lines. So whatever is down selected for the actual architecture within Next Gen C2, it might take a while for it to get produced in mass with the final decisions that we go through and equip with. At least initially, some of the integration with our legacy systems. So as it's pulling data, and I think mostly in the data space too, so as it's pulling older data, ensuring we have the coding and the people to do the coding to translate that into the Next Gen C2 architecture. All the things I've seen so far show like an easier user level experience. So like everything that you see at the soldier level is pretty much plug and play, and from very similar to like an application on your iPhone. You pick it up and you know how to use it. But in the back end still, for those who are doing all the interconnectivity between different platforms, ensuring the data passes properly, there's still a lot of work to be done there. So we might have an easier upfront, but I think at least initially, our S6s and those will have a challenge building the architecture together. And then with such a heavy reliance on data, you know, although we will have multi-comms pathways and leveraging AI to go through and detect threats and respond to threats, it's still going to be an operation where we have to ensure that we're prepared for cybersecurity intrusions and threats in that. So we always have to make sure that we have that ability to operate in detail as well.
And I think each of these points you just kind of brought up between the impacts to large-scale combat operations, the challenges we may face with technology, it's all just going to be part of this inner technology period that we're existing in right now, where things are going to be changing. So what we're talking about today may be different tomorrow. But that's what we have to do. And you just have to be able to embrace it. Is embrace that change, because the whole point is that we're learning what works and what doesn't work. And that's why when units out there, and they do get this technology, to be testing it out and provide that feedback up. And that's always the key, because I know you're going out and seeing units testing this equipment right now, sir. But they just need to continue to put that feedback up, so we know at higher echelons what working, what doesn't working. So we can develop a system that's going to be most effective for the everyday soldier.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely getting my frequent flyer miles going in the last few months as I go through and do these assessments. But you're absolutely right. You know, if we are not raising the challenges along the way, we may make decisions based on false assumptions. And so those that are involved in the testing of Next Gen C2, even those that had the C2 fix equipment, you know, as people are coming out, make sure to test it, push it through all the ringers. You know, and provide any feedback and challenges on the way up, because this is our chance to go through and really reshape command and control for the Army, and we want to make sure we get it right.
Exactly. And as we get ready to kind of close out today, is there anything else that we didn't talk about when it comes to anything with C2 fix, or really the Next Gen C2 that we didn't talk about that you want to highlight to the audience?
No, regarding Next Gen C2, I think we covered it all. I think, you know, like I'm saying, this is a unique space to be in. And I think, to toot our own horn here a little bit at CASCOM, I think one of the things that's been great within the space is that the team here was integrated with the command and control cross-functional team from the beginning and was really involved in building the architecture from the ground up, which I think is really unique. I have not had that experience in, you know, what did we say earlier, 24 years of Army time, where, you know, sustainment was considered a foundational piece of a new command control system. And so it's been really fascinating to be in this space. I don't think out of any of those other jobs I've had in my career, I would say it was a direct line with doing the ones and zeros of building a command and control system. But the opportunity to be in the space and be a part of the team that's building that has been truly incredible. And I think that's just been, I think, something very unique here is the fact that we've been integrated from day one. Everyone understands now the value of sustainment in the fight. And when they look across all of the warfighting systems, two of which were identified as being foundational to success. It was intel and sustainment. So I think that just speaks to what we do.
Exactly, sir. And I really enjoyed how you really said that out to the audience, because we are critical. Like the rest of the warfighter functions, they will not be able to actually function without sustainment. And then one of the questions I always ask the audience or my guests is like, what advice do you have for the sustainment community? And from you said 24 years of service, and that could be anything. That you could help out with the sustainment community.
Yeah. So I recently heard a quote that I absolutely love, and I wrote it down to make sure I don't get it wrong. And it goes, there are two types of people in this world, those that are humble and those that are about to be. And we're in the midst of the biggest transformation within the Army in the past 20 years. And I think it's important to approach this environment with a sense of humility and curiosity. There's a significant opportunity here in this space to revolutionize how we conduct operations. But to seize that opportunity, we must admit that perhaps the way we did things in the past wasn't the only solution. And now we have to own that we may not actually know everything and be curious enough to seek out new solutions in this space.
Exactly, sir. And I think that ties very much into one of our previous episodes when we talked about the frustrations that exist and the assumptions that we have between the different generation of soldiers. And I think that you really, you know, highlighted and keyed that in very well, that we just got to be ready to adapt as we're going through this major transformation. So we've had a very great technical and informative conversation today. And I know we went through all what it comes with a next gen C2, some of the C2 fix stuff. So where can people go if they want to, you know, reach out to you, maybe provide some feedback, or if they have any technical questions for you?
Yeah, I'd love to hear from the audience, and feel free to reach out to me on the global. You can look me up under Paul Smith. And I actually am one of the few that doesn't have any numbers after their name, because as I said earlier, I've been around longer than the internet.
So thank you, sir, very much for coming in today and just really talking to our audience all through this program. I know they'll hopefully be able to get a lot of people to reach out to you, really provide that feedback, because that's what we need right now. We need that feedback so we can really make this system what it's supposed to be. So once again, thank you, sir.
Yeah, Garrett, thank you so much for this opportunity.
I know we just barely, you know, scratched the surface with exploring this new technology. That is why the next edition of the Army Sustainment Professional Bulletin is going to be published in mid-January. It's going to be titled Data-Centric Command and Control. It's going to be Transforming and Converging Sustainment Warfighting Systems with C2 Next. So I want you all to be able to be sure to check out this winter edition as we explore next-gen C2 from multiple perspectives. That's going to provide even maybe more data that we talked about today. But that is all we have, folks, for today. As always, sustainment leaders start here. See you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil or directly to me on Global at garrett.h.pyle. Follow us on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn at Army Sustainment. We'll see you next time. Sustainment leaders start here.